Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality. Not illusion or delusion that determines what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to the views of Dr. Andrew Wakefield, who has written a book called Callous Disregard. And it's a book you'll want to get and you'll want to read. And perhaps, well, I'm going to let him tell you the story because it's a powerful, powerful story of one of the greatest tragedies of modern times. And it involves our children whose lives are being expended needlessly, and tens of thousands of children have had their lives destroyed. Certainly one in six American children has a learning disability or developmental abnormality. One in nine has asthma. One in 12 has eczema, severe allergies. One in 66 boys in America is autistic. One in 95 to 110 children are autistic. And why is it happening when you don't see it among the Amish children? You don't see it certainly among, at least nothing like this incidence among children who haven't been vaccinated. And, of course, Dr. Wakefield came inadvertently onto the front lines of this battle over vaccination because he was just trying to help children. And, of course, that led to a series of events I'm sure he could never have imagined back in the mid-1990s when he undertook the odyssey he's been on. Dr. Wakefield, thanks very much for being with us this evening, and thanks for writing this book, Callous Disregard.
Dr. Monty, thank you very much. Great pleasure to be with you.
Well, why don't you pick up the story and just tell our listeners how you got involved in this controversy that has certainly changed your life, but certainly is an effort to try to bring out the truth to the American people, and certainly has had a tremendous impact upon the attitude of the average individual towards vaccination. In fact, many families are concerned about perhaps there is something wrong. And, of course, you brought the fury of the entire medical establishment and what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness down on your shoulders. Please pick up the story and you tell it. You know it so well.
Certainly, I'll try. I was an entirely mainstream academic physician. I'm a gastroenterologist, and I trained in medicine at St. Mary's Hospital Medical School, one of the fourth generation of my family to have trained at that medical school. And I was raised in medicine to put the patient first above all else, before all other considerations. And the training that I went through was really invested in the patient's narrative, the history and the examination, as the starting point for medicine, the bedside. And in 1995, I'd had a long interest in Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, two sort of enigmatic conditions that emerged in the late 20th century, and effectively the late 20th century, and had gone up dramatically. And we didn't really have an answer for them. And I was looking at the possibility that an infection like measles might be involved. And on the 17th of May, 1995, a mother called me, Rosemary Keswick, and a very bright, very articulate woman, certainly not anti-vaxxy, but very concerned because her son, at the age of 15 months, had received his MMR and had regressed into autism, having been developmentally perfectly normal. He had high contact, engaging speech and language. He interacted with his older sibling, and then suddenly it all disappeared. And when I was at medical school, I never heard of autism because it was so rare.
In fact, I never heard of autism when I went through medical school. It really didn't appear until here in the United States in about in the 1980s after we started MMR vaccines.
That's right. The data from around the world suggests that although there were rare cases of autism historically, that it was a sort of an oddity in terms of its frequency and appearance. Then suddenly children born in the late 80s saw this dramatic escalation in numbers, and that happened in California, where you are, and in the United Kingdom, and in Japan and Denmark. And it was remarkable that these genetically diverse populations manifest exactly the same upturn within 2 short years of each other. And what was remarkable about this case and about the many cases that came to us since that time was that the parents said, my child has terrible gastrointestinal issues, and the doctors have simply said, well, your child's got autism, they're bound to have these gastrointestinal problems, diarrhea 12 times a day, bloating, pain, undigested food in their stool, this kind of thing. And that didn't make any sense to me as a gastroenterologist. These children were among the sickest that I'd ever seen, and they were clearly physically unwell. And so putting the autism to one side, we, with Professor John Walker-Smith, one of the world's leading pediatric gastroenterologists, then we looked at these children, and his team performed colonoscopy, and indeed the parents were right. The children had an inflammatory bowel disease. And then what was fascinating about that is that when that was treated with the sort of standard medication that you would use for Crohn's disease, then not only did the bowel symptoms get better, but the behavior got better. The children started speaking, smiling, interacting for the first time in years. And that really was the beginning of a very, very interesting journey.
A tragic journey that has certainly changed your life, and I'm sure it changed your view of the world as it really is. But please go ahead. Basically, of course, you started this series of, and you ended up with about 12 children who had all have been quite normal. Then they'd had an MMR vaccination. Then they began to regress. But with that came this intense, certainly, colitis, and you mentioned Crohn's disease. This is not typical Crohn's disease, is it, in any way?
Not at all. No, it was a mild, subtle form of disease. It had the same distribution as Crohn's. In other words, it could occur right from the top of the intestine, the mouth, right down to the very bottom, the anal canal. But it was much more subtle. In other words, it took a team like Professor Walker-Smith's to identify it. I mean, had it been obvious, I think we'd have picked it up a long time ago. And you're right, we saw initially 12 children. By the time I'd left the Royal Free, we'd seen over 180 children, and the disease was remarkably consistent. So
hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest, Dr. Andrew Wakefield, and we're talking about his book, Callous Disregard. And, of course, basically what happened was that the parents would come to Dr. Wakefield or perhaps to some other physician and say, my child was perfectly normal. And then, of course, they had an MMR vaccination, measles, mumps, and rubella. They developed autism. They began to regress. But associated with that, of course, was this chronic diarrhea. And suddenly patients were scoped, and I had always thought that you'd done the gastroenterology, but apparently it was done by a pediatric gastroenterologist. They found the inflammation of the wall of the intestine, but they also found that there was within the wall of the intestine lymph nodes, and those lymph nodes contained the measles virus and typed. It was the measles virus that was in the measles vaccine. So this was a viral enteritis. And, of course, I'm going to let you talk about the paper that you wrote that changed your life that has been totally misrepresented, because recently we were all reading in the newspaper about this terrible paper that you wrote where you said that autism was caused by MMR vaccine and vaccination. In fact, your article was really all about measles enteritis, wasn't it? And you simply suggested the possibility there might be a relationship between vaccinations and certainly autism. But you pick the story up, please.
As you will know, Dr. Montefiore, medical new syndromes, new diseases in man have always, almost invariably, been described in a handful of patients who have features that are so consistent that they merit publication in their own right. and this applies to congenital rubella syndrome or the effects of thalidomide, the drug taken by mothers during pregnancy or used to be taken for morning sickness. And so this is really what we reported, a case series, nothing more than that, a very, very simple paper which reported the parental history of what had happened to the child and the findings on investigation and examination. And that really was it in a nutshell. This kind of paper cannot make claims about causation. All it can do is generate hypotheses, saying this is possible, this needs to be looked at, more closely. And that is all it did. It really was a remarkably simple paper, and you are quite right, it has been grossly misrepresented. I just saw the other day that a quite an eminent physician from the Mayo Clinic said that the paper claimed that MMR vaccine caused autism. It most certainly did not. In fact, the paper said this paper does not prove an association, let alone a causal association between the vaccine and autism, or the syndrome described. What it did was to say this needs further research. Why? Because the parents had said, my child has a bowel problem, and I believe it's related to his behavior. The medical profession had said, no, they don't. The parents were right.
Well, I think, you know what, I went up on the internet, I tried to track down your paper, and I just couldn't find it. I'm sure if I'd persisted, I could have. I wanted to find out what the paper said. All we had was the articles in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post and all these articles up on the internet based upon a report that was put out by somebody who, a reporter who was employed by the BBC to trash Dr. Wakefield, and if they could destroy Dr. Wakefield's reputation, then, of course, they could say, see, there's no question at all, there's no relationship, you've got nothing to worry about, just go ahead and roll up your child's sleeve and take the vaccination, because, of course, what you've done, it raised the possibility in your initial paper that there is a cause relationship. Well, since I am not in the practice of medicine at the present time, I can say without any question, I know there's a relationship between vaccination and the autism and these others, because I've read the government reports. I have we offer the Simpson-Wood report, a CDC meeting which was top secret. They did not want the public to know, and the conclusion of this meeting of the leaders of the CDC and the vaccine manufacturers is, well, vaccines cause neurological disease in children. How will we keep the information from the public? We can't let the public know. And one of the doctors said, well, my children aren't going to take these mercury-containing vaccines. But the conclusion was, yes, there's a problem. How will we conceal it? So I can say without any hesitation that this is one of the greatest cover-up. But the tragedy is children's lives are being destroyed. Tens of thousands of children's lives have been destroyed. And, of course, Dr. Wakefield, they set out to destroy Dr. Wakefield, because if they could destroy him, then, of course, they could perhaps negate this. In other words, rather than discuss the issue, why you attack the messenger. That's pretty well what this is all about, isn't it?
Yes, I think in a nutshell, you've got it absolutely right. And this is an extravagant, expensive, elaborate, and very, very deceptive public racial relations campaign, which is intended to deflect attention from the real issue, which you've highlighted, and that is is damage to a huge number of children. The precise mechanism of that damage, we do not know. But are vaccines involved? In my opinion, yes, they are. Now, it remains for the science to demonstrate that. But I think what persuades me is, as you pointed out, it's not the science in favor of it. I think that's very persuasive. But it's the response of the other side, which is so at odds with good science. Just like the Simpson-Wood hearings held in private, except that members of the pharmaceutical industry were there, they found a clear association between the mercury preservative and neurodevelopmental disorders, and they did whatever they could to fudge the data to get rid of it. Now, if I had done that, let's say I designed a study, and after I got a result that I didn't like, post hoc, I went about reanalyzing the data and reanalyzing it and reanalyzing it, get rid of the effect, then I would never hear the end of it. That would be called scientific fraud.
Well, how about if you were employed by GlaxoSmithKline and Friends at a fantastic salary, and that then you then rewrote the conclusions, which is exactly what happened to the man who went through the. I mean, here's a man. The day after the Simpson report, he was hired by GlaxoSmithKline and Friends. Went overseas and then rewrote and redid the statistical analysis for his employer. And then they published the article without even mentioning that he worked for GlaxoSmithKline and Friends.
Yes, I know. It is extraordinary. And the American public, the public of the world, have been very, very much misled by this whole affair. I think the truth is that it will emerge. There's no doubt about it. It will emerge, not because I say so or because of anything I do, but because the problem is so large. Is so pervasive, affects so many people, intelligent, bright, professional people, people who are physicians themselves, scientists, many, many people across all walks of life who know the truth. And there was a poll last year, 25% of American parents believe that vaccines caused autism. That was despite this extraordinary campaign to discredit me. This year I saw a poll from Ohio, a popular poll, 61% of parents said that vaccines caused autism, in their opinion. So, in other words, the public relations exercise has failed. It has failed. And it is going to go on failing, and what will happen is that public confidence in vaccination policy and policymakers will continue to plummet until such time as when it is proven to be associated, which the American courts, of course, already accept, then we've got a catastrophe on our hands. So, it is high time that they behaved more responsibly. They stopped going after the messenger and got on with the job that they're paid to do, because I'm not going to go away. The issue is far too important, and I'm going to do whatever I can to help resolve it.
Well, you will have a number of people who feel very strongly as you do. In fact, one of the National Health Organization came out with a report just yesterday with a number of prominent physicians signing a statement. I think your name is probably on that, isn't it? There seems to be a definite causal relationship, or at least the suggestion of a causal relationship between vaccination and the multiple problems that are associated with the ill health of our children. Is your name on that along? I saw Dr. Ayoub and certainly Dr. Russell Blaylock, a number of the people I know, and certainly I have a great deal of respect for. In fact, I didn't want to sign it until I saw who was on it and what it actually said. I wouldn't put my name to anything until I was sure, but I was very impressed by what they had to say.
Yes, well, in fact, I wasn't on that. I think I've been so tied up recently with a number of things that but nonetheless, I think, you know, the argument has been throughout this, that, oh, it's just you. You're the only person who believes it, the whole of the medical profession is against you. Well, in fact, this puts a lie to that. It's not. There are many, many doctors who know what the truth is, and or at least know that there is enough truth in this that it needs to be pursued. The problem is, and what was intended for the medical profession in light of what happened to me, was an effort to frighten people, to put them off looking at this this issue, to stop them asking relevant questions, to cause them to abandon vaccine safety science, because if you do, this is what will happen to you. That was the message that was intended to send to the medical profession. Well, again, we mustn't. Medicine and science must not let us let ourselves be overrun like this. It's unacceptable.
Well, of course, you had 12 co-authors on the paper. 10 of them have renounced the paper, denounced it. The Lancet withdrew the newspaper. All of this was because of pressure. There were two doctors who had the courage to stand and say, oh, what the paper said was perfectly all right. And what happened? They pulled their medical license. Ladies and gentlemen, they go after the doctors. We're talking about an organized, coordinated effort to destroy anyone who tries to protect children. A coordinated effort to destroy those who try to protect children. You need to get this book. You need to read it. You'll weep. Well, Dr. Wakefield, you go right ahead with your story here, and certainly, you did not even do the majority of the colonoscopies, did you?
No, I was in.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
You can destroy the messenger. You can destroy the message. And the message really was very simple. Children who had the MMR vaccine, some of them developed a measles colitis. That was what the message said. It said it should be studied further. And there might, and you, the exact terminology was, you didn't say in any way that the MMR vaccine created autism. You said that it should be investigated further. How did you term it? Because it was a very benign statement.
Yes, we simply said that this study does not prove an association between MMR vaccine and the syndrome described. Further work is needed to further research is needed to investigate this. And that was really the essence of of what we said, and our paper was a response to concerns. So we were accused, I was accused of starting a worldwide scare on measles or MMR vaccine. Now, that's not true. We responded to a scare. It may not be known to you, but in the UK, we had three brands of vaccine introduced, MMR vaccine introduced at the end of the 1980s. Two of those brands had to be withdrawn for safety reasons. They caused meningitis. The brand that you used over here, made by Merck, did not do so. So right from the beginning, there was a problem with this vaccine in the UK. People were frightened. They did not like it. And when I did my research into it, I published or wrote a 250-page report before I ever offered an opinion on this vaccine, and that the safety studies were derisory. And therefore, I said to my colleagues, I can no longer support the use of the MMR vaccine. I will continue to endorse the use of the single vaccine, for which the safety studies are better. But I cannot support the MMR vaccine. And the other thing that I knew at the time, which is extraordinary, is that the MMR vaccine that was used in the UK, it's called Pluserix. The same time, the same month that it was licensed in the UK, it was withdrawn in Canada for the same safety reasons.
Well, now, why would they release a drug in England that had been withdrawn in Canada for safety reasons? It would seem to me they were just trying to get rid of the supply that they had. Could that be possible?
Well, I think there are two reasons. One is that it was cheaper than the Merck vaccine, and the other that it was the home team. It was Smith Beecham, which, of course, is a UK company. So, in my opinion, they put the price of the vaccine before the safety of children. And this is proven. This is absolutely proven, because the vaccine, 4 years after its introduction, and many cases of meningitis, it had to be withdrawn.
Now, why did the children get the meningitis? Was it contaminated? Was there a virus? Or was it a chemical meningitis? What caused the meningitis?
The meningitis was caused by the mumps strain of the vaccine. It was a strain made in Japan called Urabi AM9. And it was a problem from the beginning. It caused meningitis. What is interesting, and you'll appreciate this, is that on its own, as a single vaccine, it was given in millions of doses in Japan, it didn't cause meningitis. When it was combined into MMR, it did. And that may be a clue as to the possible interaction of these viruses in combination that leads to unexpected, unanticipated effects. But what happened is that I was told by a whistleblower from the government, a public health doctor who had been brought in from Canada to advise on the introduction of the vaccine, he said, do not use this vaccine, and they ignored him. 4 years later, it had to be withdrawn. And the reason they had to silence me is because I had met with this whistleblower, and he had made it evident to me that the drug company were unhappy about introducing the vaccine. Smith Kline Beecham did not want to do it. They had anxieties because of the experience in Canada. And so the British government underwrote liability. Now, this was an extraordinary event. They took away the liability, and one of the representatives of that company said to this expert Canadian advisor, we are immunizing the children, and the government is immunizing us. So a deal was done. And so it was the government, and it remains the government, that is liable for the damage to these children, and that runs to billions of pounds.
But of course, with your type of socialized medicine you have over there, the government is going to have to spend countless billions of dollars down the line taking care of these children, many of them who will be hospitalized for the rest of their lives because their lives are destroyed. Many of them cannot exist in society. That was certainly a devil's bargain, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was an extraordinary decision to have taken. And to profess that you're concerned about the safety of children above all else, and then to take a vaccine that is cheaper, it is knowingly dangerous. It's simply an extraordinary situation.
And ladies and gentlemen, they knew what they were doing to the children. They were risking their lives, and they lost, and the children's lives are destroyed.
For a land so fair, as we raise our voices.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess Dr. Andrew Wakefield, and we're talking about the tragedy that has unfolded in England, but a similar tragedy has unfolded here, and certainly we have tens of thousands of children whose lives have been destroyed by, of course, the vaccination, and I'm sure the multiple factorial, but certainly the MMR vaccine has been a disaster, and certainly you try, though, to get individual measles or mumps or of rubella vaccines are extremely difficult to get. Everything is done to block the effort of the parents to try to get the individual vaccines to protect their children, because, of course, every time you take a vaccination, why, you mobilize the immune system, and, of course, then it causes certainly not only systemic immune response, but immune response in the brain, the mitochondrial effect, and then, of course, when you get three diseases, you get three insults. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Dr. Andrew Wakefield. His book, Callous Disregard, and we will be carrying this book. We think it's a vitally important story to have and to get others to read. But, Dr. Wakefield, do you have a website or place people can go to get information on what your information you have?
Certainly. There are two websites. One is where they can get the book, and that is called callous-disregard.com, callous-disregard.com. The other website that's just gone up, which will be of interest to people, is has been put up in response to the recent attacks on me by the British Medical Journal, where they've allowed this same journalist, Brian Deer, to hijack them effectively to perpetuate stories which are completely untrue, and for which the British Medical Journal's editors did not check their facts, and those facts were fully available to them. So if people would like to follow that story, then that is on vaccinesafetyfirst.com.
Well, will they allow you to write an article to counter his confabulations?
I think it's very unlikely, but that is my next approach.
Well, I would hope that you would, and if they decline that, you would have every right to sue them for libel. You might end up owning the British Medical Journal, and that would be quite a turn. But basically, I know certainly one of the gentlemen I'd interviewed on an entirely different matter was attacked viciously by the American Medical Association. For a book he had written, and it had nothing to do with medicine, had to do with a political assassination. He was attacked by the American Medical Association because a book he wrote about an assassination. He brought a suit against the American Medical Association, and they gave him almost $250,000. And this was many years ago, when $1 million was worth probably six or eight times what it is today, saying, well, of course, there's no basis for the suit, but it's much easier to pay him off than to go to court. The thing is that they feared going to court for fear that the truth would come out and doctors would begin to realize how fraudulent the American Medical Association is, and I say that with all due respect, having been a physician, a leader of the California Medical Association for many years. But we have fraud with the leadership of organized medicine in the United States, unfortunately. And, of course, these people have a different agenda. Most doctors want to do good and help. But, of course, the American Medical Association Journal sometimes can be very hazardous to your health. And in this instance, it's the British Medical Journal being used for political purposes rather than in pursuit of truth. So I do hope that you will pursue all the avenues open to you, as I say. This gentleman, retired surgeon, received $225,000 from the American Medical Association, rather than go to court to defend the scurrilous lies that they'd printed about him. And it was, of course, once again, the idea of don't attack the message, attack the messenger. Well, basically, of course, now what happened to the gentleman, the senior pediatric colonologist? Did he ever renounce that?
Professor Walgus. Yes. Well, here is a man who has written a definitive textbook on pediatric gastroenterology. He's recognized worldwide as a great leader in the field and a man who has spent his entire career devoted to the well-being of children. It's unthinkable that a man, at the end of all of that, thousands of publications, should experiment on children unethically, should seek to deceive parents and the profession in order to do what? To further his career? It's nonsense. It is absolutely unthinkable. And yet, to get me, they had to take him down as well. And he lost his license to practice, albeit that he'd already retired.
Well, he lost his license to practice. In other words, basically, if you stand up against these people, they will go after your medical license. And if you are, ladies and gentlemen, one reason why doctors don't speak out today on many issues is they'll go after the medical license. And this has happened to a number of doctors who were good doctors, were doing right, were trying to help people, and they lost their license, not because of what they did, but because of what they stood for and because they were exposing things. I don't know how I ever survived in my field, taking some of the stands I did, but I think God protected me, and I suspect he's protected Dr. Wakefield, even though they've gone after him now and certainly done everything they could to destroy him. Are you in the process today of working, trying to get more knowledge and information out and demonstrate the relationship between certain vaccines and these horrible consequences and the destruction of children's lives? I know you've done some studies here on monkeys. What was that all about?
Yes, that, a very important set of studies, and I think one of the reasons they've tried to discredit me is that it may come as a surprise to your listeners that the vaccine schedule, what children actually get in the real world from the first day of life right through to their four-year-old preschool boosters, the safety of that schedule has never been tested. In other words, what is the potential for the many, many vaccines in that schedule to interact, potentiate each other, to cause unexpected events? Now, why would they do that? Well, they might do that because the mercury in some of the vaccines is a poison to the immune system. If you poison the immune system from the first day of life, and then you give a live viral vaccine, then you may increase the risk of an adverse reaction to that live viral vaccine. Why? Because the immune system cannot respond appropriately. So that is why the safety studies of the schedule should have been done and why parents might expect them to have been done, but they haven't. So what we decided to do 9 or so years ago, started at the University of Pittsburgh, was to do a study of infant rhesus macaques, monkeys receiving vaccine schedule of the 1990s. And so all we did, we gave them what children received in the 1990s, and we followed them out to see what the effects were on their intestine, their immune system, their general well-being, their behavior, their development. And the first two papers from those studies have been published. I suspect there'll be 10 or so more papers. But the first study looked at the effects of just the hepatitis B vaccine on the first day of life, and what it found is that the acquisition of survival reflexes, these are reflexes like feeding reflexes, sucking and rooting and snouting, that are essential for the survival of these animals in the wild, in the jungle, were significantly delayed in the vaccinated animals. So as early as the first day of life, that hepatitis B vaccine seemed to be causing some sort of injury to the brain. That was very alarming. Now, it should not have been left to us to do those studies. Those should have been done long before this vaccine ever got into children.
Well, of course, they supposedly removed the mercury, the thimerosal, from the vaccines, from a childhood vaccines here in the United States. They did, and of course, as soon as they did that, they mandated that children take the influenza vaccine and be given to pregnant women that contained mercury. So that by the time a child today reaches the age of 18, they'll have twice as much in the way of mercury as they did before they removed the thimerosal from childhood vaccines in the United States. But did they remove the mercury from the childhood vaccines in England and Europe?
Yes, they did. In fact, it was done some time before. And we don't have hepatitis B vaccine in the UK routinely. So, but you're absolutely right. They took it out with one hand and they put it back in with another. Why would you do that? What a bizarre situation if you're acknowledging that there may be a problem with this.
And of course, even worse than that is they took the thimerosal out of the childhood vaccines given in the United States and Europe, but they left it in the childhood vaccines to give to those little black and brown children in third world nations. And we have to ask why. Well, we won't get into that tonight, but that's, unless Dr. Wakefield wants to, but that is, of course, really such a tragic situation. We love these children. We want to vaccinate them, so we're going to leave thimerosal and mercury in there. There is no safe level of mercury for the brain of a developing child. But Dr. Wakefield, you pick up the story. Anyway, you were saying that these studies showed that with the monkeys starting, you know, really they get hepatitis B shot there in the nursery, and this slows down the normal reflexes they have, the sucking reflexes, other responses they have. Please pick up the story and tell us what you found with these studies.
That's great. The first thing was the hepatitis B vaccine on day one. The next study that was published looked at the development of the brain in terms of its size and the size of various within the brain. Now, what is known about autism is that there is a rapid growth of the brain. Children with autism have an enlarged head circumference associated with an enlarged brain, and they have abnormal growth of specific areas of the brain. So the question here was, if we do scans on these monkeys before and after the MMR vaccine, do we see changes in the dimensions of the brain and the function of the brain that mirror those or are similar to those that we see in children with autism? And the answer was yes. Very, very similar changes were seen in response to vaccination compared with autism and what we know about brain development. So, again, it is increasingly compelling, the data that are emerging, that there is an effect, a clear biological effect on the brain, developing brain. And so those studies are continuing, and there are many papers yet to be published. There is huge resistance to publishing them because of what they say, but they are very good science. They're done in the most tightly controlled circumstances, and I believe they're going to be very, very important in determining the final outcome of this this whole debate.
Now, basically, then, you have monkeys that have had the vaccinations, and you have control monkeys that don't have them. So you can compare the two groups, and certainly when they're sacrificed.
That's correct. When you compare these two groups, vaccinated versus unvaccinated, that is when you see the differences emerge. And that was a very, very important study. The studies that need to be done in the human arena are looking at large populations of unvaccinated children, comparing them with fully vaccinated children. And you referred to the Amish and others. There would be a group that would be well worth looking at, because here is an unvaccinated group of children who appear not to have, or have a very low level of autism. And be dying. Here we have lots of reports of scares about children not getting vaccinated dying. But the Amish who do not get vaccinated don't appear to be suffering from that mortality. So there is some, you know, the message is different from the reality. And the same is true of Christian Scientists and the Steiner schools. We do not see huge mortality. If anything, you see better health in those groups. And that is an opinion, and that is an opinion that needs to be put to the test in a proper study.
Well, of course, every effort is made to block those studies, and we're told, oh, well, we couldn't run a controlled study on this because it would be immoral not to vaccinate the children. After all, if we didn't vaccinate them, the children die, we'd be responsible. Therefore, we can't run a controlled study to find out whether or not the vaccines really do more harm than good. It's almost like circular arguments.
It is. Now, of course, what you can do, which doesn't involve doing a prospective study where you stop one group of children getting the vaccine, is you look at the historical records. You go back and do a large retrospective study, and I'm sure that if you did that, then the signal would be sufficiently strong that you would identify it. And that's the study they really, really don't want to do. But there are a sufficient number of unvaccinated children in this country now, among homeschoolers, Steiner schools, the Amish, and elsewhere, where this answer could come. The other thing that's very interesting and very distressing is that the Somali population living particularly in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, have an extraordinarily high rate of autism. I was told, I was up there recently, 1 in 28 children.
Now, what population is that again?
This is the Somali population. These are children born of Somali parents.
Oh, Somali, okay.
Born in America. And they escaped from Somalia from the civil war that was taking place there. In Somalia, there was no autism. There was no word for autism. It did not exist. Very, very rare cases. And yet, 1 in 28 children in Minnesota of Somali parents are developing autism.
Do you think this is a genetic difference? Certainly there is a genetic difference, a genetic response, certainly between certain racial groups.
Well, I think it is, and it's a very interesting question. I think this is where genetics and environment play into each other. And the theory that we're pursuing is that vitamin D is essential for the normal functioning of the immune system. Now, if you are dark-skinned, then you have a susceptibility to vitamin D deficiency. If you live in a sunny country like Somalia on the equator, then you will get enough sunlight to compensate for that. But if you live in Minnesota, you may not. Now, what is interesting about the Somali population is they have a genetic background where they might metabolize vitamin D very, very quickly, much quicker than Asian populations or Caucasian populations. So that may make them exquisitely sensitive to vitamin D deficiency. And if your immune system is not working properly because you are vitamin D deficient, then you may be more likely to have an adverse vaccine reaction. Certainly, many of the Somali parents say it was the vaccines that caused their child's problem. So I think this could be a very interesting opportunity to answer the question of what is going on.
Well, there are just so many aspects of this, ladies and gentlemen, but I can assure you that the Centers for Disease Control, and I've been there and talked to the people there, and some of them are wonderful people, and some of them are, in my estimation, very evil people. But I can assure you that they're not going to carry out the studies that are necessary to get to the bottom of this, at least not without doing a total of removal of many of the people in key positions there. Do you have an email on your website so you can be contacted? Because we'd actually do four different networks, and this is just one of them. Is it possible to contact you through through an email there at your website?
Yes, it is, and there is an email on the website. I can't remember the precise email, but it's on the website.
All right, fine. We will get in touch with you, because I think this information needs to be gotten out, and certainly we've talked to a number of people, but you have information that I've never heard before. Well, I guess it's Dr. Andrew Wakefield. His book is called Callous Disregard. And it is the most incredible story of a very courageous man who did what he thought was right for children. And, of course, it paid a terrible, terrible price. They've pulled his medical license. They've done this to the other doctors who were involved with him. 10 of the 12 doctors who originally co-signed the paper, and it was a very innocuous paper, have renounced it. Why? I'm sure that they were threatened. I know I've talked to other doctors who told me that they were threatened. One of them even had to leave the United States and go off to live in Kenya, really for fear of her life, her safety and her life. Well, we have 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. I don't know if you know Dr. Bonnie Dunbar. She was at the meeting you attended back there in Sydney about a year and a half ago in Washington, D.C., and she was...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need, of course, to get our information on the vaccines we carry. I still need Dr. David Ayoub's talk, Vaccines, Autism, and the Global Vaccine Agenda. It's really all about population control because, of course, the mercury in the vaccines given to third world children alters their genetic structure, and its change goes, altered genetic structure, turning the switch off, goes from generation to generation. So by the third generation, there's hardly any reproduction. That's why Bill Gates said, the solution to the world population is vaccination. They know, they just don't want you to know that they're destroying the lives of our children. And then, of course, we have Dr. Russell Blaylock's Vaccines and Brain Development. We have my talk on the specter haunting America. These are all DVDs. They're important and vitally important. We have Barbara Fisher's book on vaccine safety. We have Neil Miller's book, Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective? So let me just repeat the things that we have. We have Andrew Wakefield's book, Callous Disregard, an important book about a very brave man. We have Dr. David Abe's DVD, and if you get that, you get a free CD-ROM with it, with literally several thousand papers of scientific studies showing they know they're destroying the lives of our children. And you get, of course, the DVD along with the free CD-ROM. Mercury, Autism, and the Global Vaccine Agenda is the title. And then Dr. Russell Blaylock, Vaccines and Brain Development. Vaccines and brain development. Every time you give a vaccine, why you inflame the brain, you give MMR, that's three diseases, you get three inflammations, separate inflammations of the brain, and they know what they're doing. And then, of course, my talk, The Specter Haunting America, Barbara Lo Fisher's book, Vaccine Safety, Neil Miller's little book, Vaccines and Brain Development. Now we have four tape sets, and we have certainly large books and small books and medium-sized books. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com. Get the information. Get to your neighbors. Anything we have produced, you have our permission to copy and distribute as far and wide as you want to. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. Now, you can certainly listen to our programs there on the Internet 9 hours a day, and that's a play, and you can listen to our programs on MP3 and on the iPod, and you can listen on your telephone. You can listen to us on shortwave. We have satellite outlets, and we have radio outlets all across America. And quite frankly, we need your help. If you're in a position to help us finance it, we've got quite short. We have putting out $5,000 a month just for shortwave, and the shortwave isn't working very well. The government complained about our moving to a lower frequency, so we can't be there, and so we have they're putting out a great deal of money. Programs are not reaching out, hopefully, when we go on daylight saving time, why the shortwave program and shortwave problems will be compensated. We don't want to have to give up shortwave, but if you're out there listening and there's any way you could help us, our number 1-800-544-8927. But behind this are powerful spiritual forces. Who would want to hurt a child? That's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or watch the DVD. And if you can't afford it, it's on our website at radioliberty.com. But get the information. Your job is to get it out to others and raise the question, is it possible they're hurting our children? And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, It's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of David Rubin, and he's the former mayor of a city called Siloam. I'll let him tell you. I probably don't have it quite correct. But Dr. David was certainly our guest this morning on our early morning program. But, of course, he was in an automobile accident. We didn't get a chance to talk to him for more than 15 minutes. But I felt that he had so much to say. I asked him if he would mind getting up very early over in Israel this morning. It's about 7 o'clock there, your time, David?
Yes, it is.
I'm going to ask you to pick the story up because, of course, David's certainly on the front lines. We sit over here in the comfort of our homes, far away from the potential battlefield that's raging there. Certainly at the present time, we're seeing the disruption, the overthrow of government after government there in the Near East and the Middle East. Certainly Tunisia has fallen. Egypt will probably fall to the radical Islamists very soon. Riots in Algeria. The Lebanese government has fallen. Turkey has moved to the radical Islamic camps. Other riots and demonstrations in Jordan. Other riots and demonstrations in Yemen. Other riots and demonstrations in Somalia. Syria is talking about having to modify its form of government to accede to the will of the people, but sometimes, of course, that can lead to dramatic changes. We know, of course, that the war rages on in Afghanistan. Pakistan is certainly, nuclear-armed Pakistan is a very unstable nation. There are a number of very powerful radical Islamists within the military there, and Pakistan could fall to the radical Islamists at any time, as certainly could both Afghanistan and Iraq. So, David, I appreciate, or Mr. Rubin, I would like you to tell our listeners your background. You speak fluent English. You are the mayor of an Israeli city, and want you to tell us what is going on from your perspective and a little bit about this radical form of Islam, which I don't think most people really understand what we're up against. Go right ahead.
Well, I also don't think that people are really getting it. I'll tell you, first of all, you asked about my background. I grew up in the United States. I was born in the United States. I grew up in the United States. I've been living in Israel almost 20 years. But I still am an American citizen. I still consider myself to be an American patriot, as well as an Israeli patriot. I don't see any contradiction between the two, since the United States was built on biblical foundations, and any country that's built on biblical foundations at least should have a natural affinity with the state of Israel, which of course is the ultimate biblical nation, if you trace back the roots of Israel.
You go right ahead. I'll tell you when we have to cut off here.
Okay. Here's some background music.
That's
there.
All right. You go ahead.
Okay. So I was since I came to Israel, I've been very active in the life of the country. I moved to the community of Shiloh. Well, we call it in Hebrew Shiloh. Most Americans would know it as Shiloh, since there are 65 cities or towns in the United States called Shiloh. The town of Shiloh is in Samaria, in the region called Samaria, which is what Americans would know as the West Bank.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. All right, fine. That's where, of course, the well is, that a very famous well that Jesus met the woman at, from the Christian point of view. And that was the well. Who dug that well there in Samaria?
Frankly, I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to. This may be New Testament stuff, which I'm not as familiar
with. It was dug by one of the patriarchs. I forgot to know who it was, but I think it was...
Could be Abraham.
Anyway, go ahead. No, it wasn't dug by... it could have been... anyway, it's immaterial. You go right ahead. That's New Testament theology. But why don't you go ahead and... but for the Christians, Samaria is certainly right adjacent to Israel, and certainly we call it West Bank, but it really is part of Israel, should never have been given up by the Israeli leaders. But you go ahead and tell the story, please.
Okay, so are we on the air now? That's my
question. We are on the well, and I'm sure this is Jacob. This is Jacob as well. Go ahead.
Okay, so in Shiloh. Shiloh was the capital for 369 years, and in the time of Joshua, in the time of the woman Hannah, who came to pray for her son, and the son who was born was Samuel the prophet, who grew up in Shiloh. So that is the background of where I came to live. I soon became the mayor of the community after several years of living here, and so that is my background. Afterwards, a couple of years after I was mayor, I was wounded in a terrorist attack along with my three-year-old son when we were coming back from Jerusalem, and the car was hit with a massive hail of bullets. I was shot in the leg. My son was shot in the head, and the bullet went through his neck, missing his brainstem by 1 millimeter. So this is my experience in Israel. So we're talking first-hand experience with terrorism, and it's something that we've seen throughout our community. In fact, a short time afterwards, I established the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, if you will, to ease the trauma of all of the terror victim children in this area, and as well to build up the biblical heartland of Israel. So this is what I've been involved in, and I've written a couple of books, and the most recent one is The Islamic Tsunami, which brings us up to our topic, because what we are seeing...
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is David Rubin. He's written the books on the Islamic tsunami, and basically going into the background of radical Islam. Now, of course, radical Islam really has not been a major factor, very minor, really. You had the Wahhabis in Saudi Arabia, you had the Muslim Brotherhood, but they have gradually but expanding their power and influence, and they are a major factor in what is transpiring over in the Near East and the Middle East today. I don't think most Muslims want to be part of this radical type of Islam, but of course they have a great deal of political power behind them, and they are organized, and of course, remember, a small minority can control a disorganized majority. A small organized minority can control a large unorganized majority and force them to do what they want to. And, of course, I think many of the young people, because of their intense hatred of America, are beginning to flock to this radical form of Islam. So you pick up the story there, because suddenly I was very impressed with what David had to say this morning about the enemy we're facing. And I don't think most Americans have any idea what we are really up against today. We weren't against this, certainly this was not a major factor, or at least as much of a factor in the past. But everything has changed in this last few weeks. Go right ahead.
Yes, well, what we're talking about is not a radical interpretation of Islam. Unfortunately, it's the mainstream of Islam. I know it's not politically correct to say such a thing. People will say, you just can't say things like that. Well, let's face reality in the face, okay? There was a gentleman by the name of John Quincy Adams, who was the sixth president of the United States. And this was way before the age of political correctness, where every person had to look over their shoulder before saying what they really think. Well, I'm going to tell you what he said about Islam. He spoke about Muhammad, who was the founder of Islam, and he said the following. He said, he poisoned the sources of human felicity at the fountain by degrading the condition of the female sex and the allowance of polygamy. And he declared undistinguishing and exterminating war as part of his religion against all the rest of mankind. The essence of his doctrine was violence and lust, to exalt the brutal over the spiritual part of human nature. Now that was John Quincy Adams, the former president of the United States. There were similar statements by Winston Churchill and other famous statesmen. Now, what is the problem here? The problem is not some fringe part of Islam that is misinterpreting a religion of peace. It's the mainstream of Islam. Now I've heard about what's been going on in Egypt and the Muslim Brotherhood. Everyone's talking about the Muslim Brotherhood. What is the Muslim Brotherhood? Now, there was an interview I heard a couple of days ago with President Obama, in which he said, when he was questioned about the Muslim Brotherhood and what's going on in Egypt, he said, strains of their ideology are anti-U.S., which, of course, anti-Israel, but he said, strains of their ideology are anti-U.S. Well, I don't know what planet the president is living on, but it's not a question of strains of their ideology being anti-U.S. If you look at the doctrine of the Muslim Brotherhood, their statement of principles, which is all written, which has been publicized many times, if anyone cares to go into the internet and research this a little bit, it's all there in front of our eyes. They are not a nonviolent force. Just hear their statement of principles. Number one, Allah is our objective. Number two, the Quran is our constitution. Now, that's the Quran, which is the replacement for the Bible that they came up with, that Muhammad came up with, when he founded Islam 1,400 years ago. Now, what does the Quran say? Let's just quickly take a look and read a couple of quotes, if we could, from the Quran. And so the Quran says, I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them. Well, that doesn't sound to me like a religion of peace. Let's take another quote. Kill the unbelievers wherever you find them and lie in wait for them in each and every ambush. Now, where I come from and where I live as well, religion is supposed to be peace. The religion is supposed to bring peace to all mankind. And this is anything but that. This is in the doctrine. Now, there's been a lot of misuse of religion over the centuries, but this is in the doctrine of Islam. This is core in the doctrine of Islam. So let's continue here with this statement of principles. The Prophet is our leader. Now, when Muslims say the Prophet, they're talking about Muhammad, the founder of Islam, who claimed that he was a prophet. His claims of prophecy were rejected by all of the Jews and Christians of that time on the Arabian Peninsula. But he rejected everything from their religion, from the Christians and the Jews. He had 31 wives. He had unlimited concubines. And one of those wives he married when she was 6 years old. They consummated the marriage when she was 9 years old, before she had even reached physical maturity. Now, forgive me for being so graphic here, but I want people to understand who Muslims are talking about when they say it's a prophet. So that is Muhammad. And when he spoke of the greatest principles of Islam, he spoke of jihad, holy war, against all of the unbelievers. Meaning anyone who does not agree with Islam is an unbeliever, and there has to be jihad against those people. Okay, that we're up to number four out of five. Struggle is our way. Okay, when Muslims speak of struggle, they're talking about, in the Quran, they're speaking about terrorism. They're speaking about violent attacks, according to those quotes that I just described, that I just read to you. Attacks against all Christians and Jews and anyone else who does not agree with Islam. And number five is death for the sake of Allah is the highest of our aspirations. Okay, so this is who we're talking about when we talk about the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt.
And of course, this is part of this whole idea that the only way you're really ever going to be sure to get to heaven is to die in jihad. Basically, the Muslim really lives in fear. He's never certain he's going to go to heaven. But the only way he can really be sure is to die in jihad. And this is one thing that motivates them. They want to die, and that is not necessarily a very healthy situation to have people who feel that way wanting to kill you. And unfortunately, when you get into some people say this is the true Muslim faith, and in some respects that's absolutely right. This is the way it was advocated by Muhammad. Fortunately, most Muslims don't feel that way, but there is a growing number who do. And now, I really feel that within a few months, they are going to be in total working control of all those nations over there, and it may not be long before they control all those nuclear weapons in Pakistan. That is the frightening thing. But you go right ahead. I want to know what you think about what's going on.
Well, that is the absolute truth, and not every Muslim believes in this. And certainly not every Muslim is an activist in this. However, one who is a religious Muslim who adheres to the doctrine of the Quran will believe in this. He may not be active in acts of jihad. He may not be active in acts of holy war and terrorism, but he will support it, at least quietly and perhaps with funding, which many Muslims in America are active in. So I described the statement of principles of the Muslim Brotherhood, which, by the way, the Muslim Brotherhood is the outgrowth organization of Hamas. Hamas grew out of the Muslim Brotherhood, the Hamas terrorist organization based in Gaza. So if we look at the practice of the Muslim Brotherhood's principles, we see that they support jihad or holy war against non-Muslims. We see that they support terrorism against Israel and against the United States. And this is all backed up in the documentation. And furthermore, and this brings us to a discussion of my book, The Islamic Tsunami, they support. And this is all documented in an explanatory memorandum from 1991. They support a civilization jihadist process in North America to achieve the objective of eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within.
And
that's a quote.
In fact, one of the most frightening things is that I think it was one of the state legislatures, Oklahoma, voted a law that said, we will not enforce Sharia law here. I mean, this is America. A judge said, you can't. That's unconstitutional. We've got to have Sharia law. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you mean we have to have Sharia law? Aren't we an American country? Why would a judge say we have to accept Sharia law here? Because the plan, ladies and gentlemen, is to convert America into a Muslim nation. You say it could never happen, but are you absolutely certain? Are you willing to bet your life on it? Go right ahead, David.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
People feel the average Muslim on the street. Certainly, I really felt that probably they were really not as schooled or dedicated to this radical form of Islam as they are. Would you mind repeating those figures you
sure.
just read from the
sure.
poll?
Well, what the poll found was that first of all, one statistic that I didn't say before the break was. 59% of Muslims in Egypt, which means 59% of Egyptians, because the Christian population is relatively small, 59% said that they back Islamists, meaning the ones who want to take over and impose this fundamentalist Islam in Egypt than in the world. So that's 59%, almost 60%. Only 27% said that they back modernizers, people who want to bring a more Western-going society. Okay, half of Egyptians support Hamas, the extension of the Muslim Brotherhood, which we've all been hearing about. Now, when it comes to actual acts to be carried out against those who commit crimes, 82% of Egyptians support executing adulterers by stoning. 77% support cutting the hands of thieves, cutting off the hands of thieves. And last but not least, 84% support executing any Muslim who changes his religion. Now
that is a frightening figure. That really, those are frightening figures. I'd never heard those, but go right ahead.
Yeah, so we don't, you know, we in the West certainly don't support adultery, and we don't support crimes of, you know, stealing, but we... And
we have a compassionate city. We don't cut off people's hands and feet, and we don't stone women for adultery.
We believe that people have a right to have the ability to redeem themselves. That people can be changed, and that you know, it's that American optimism, where we believe that yes. Criminals who have committed crimes over and over and don't seem to be reforming themselves should be in jail, and they should stay in jail. But we, and there are many who believe in the death penalty for those who commit murder, in particularly nefarious situations. But there is a compassion, and a situation like this where the Islamic law, which they call Sharia law, would be carried out and would be imposed on a society. This is barbaric. This is not something that we believe in, but this is something that most Egyptians believe in, according to this poll. And then when you have 84% supporting executing any Muslim who changes his religion, well, what does that tell you about those human rights, so-called human rights democracy activists out there in the streets of Egypt that the media is cheering on, and that President Obama and his administration is cheering on? Something is wrong here. Something is rotten. I'm not going to say in Denmark. Something is rotten in Egypt.
Well,
something is rotten, perhaps in Washington.
Well, I think that if we have a disease that is sweeping the Islamic world, and I believe that there are really efforts to promote this sort of thing, and we have to ask, who in their right mind would want to promote this? Why would the president not be firmly against that? In fact, why would you go to our website, radioliberty.com, to the section on videos on the web? You can see President Obama bowing at a right angle, not just nodding, bowing at a right angle before the King of Saudi Arabia, who is the titular head of the Muslim faith, you know, because, of course, they control Mecca and Medina, the two Muslim holy sites. Why would an American president bow at a right angle? And, of course, after it happened, why, they said, no, it didn't happen, it's not true. Well, you can go to our website, radioliberty.com, just scroll down there, and you can actually see it. And you're either going to have to accept that President Obama is saying, I did not do it, or you're going to have to believe your lying eyes. And if he is bowing before the King of Saudi Arabia, we have to ask, what does that suggest his views are? We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Grateful.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is David Rubin, and you go right ahead, David.
Okay, so we've been discussing the what I call in the title of my book, the Islamic tsunami. We're discussing this Islamic tsunami that's occurring in the Middle East right now, and that the Islamic ideologues are hoping to export to the rest of the world. We've seen it in this Islamic tsunami in Lebanon. We've seen it in Egypt. We've seen it in Turkey and in Gaza, and throughout the Middle East, country after country is falling. And of course, it all started back in Iran when the Shah of Iran was fallen by the so-called democracy protesters there, which of course was revealed eventually as the Islamic Revolution. But we've also been discussing how the American government, how the Obama administration.
We lost our guest. I'm going to ask our producer to get David back on the line. I don't know what happened, but anyway, we're disconnected. So if our producer would give him a call again, we certainly want to have him, because I think what you're hearing tonight is vitally important. Now, basically, it's so easy to mislead people. And it's so easy, just because of the poverty, and the abject poverty. And in Egypt, the people there, the average person, lives on about $2 a day. Suddenly you go to school, you get out, there are no jobs for you. But you have a ruling elite, you have a ruling class, a small group of very, very wealthy and powerful people. And then everybody else is certainly being repressed. And this is little reason. This is the reason for the discontent, that and the skyrocketing price of the bare essentials of food, of sugar, of salt, and because of manipulation of those commodity prices. Why, of course, these people are starving in Egypt. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we're talking about the situation as it exists over in Egypt today. And basically, in Egypt, you have a ruling class. It is estimated that Mubarak and his family have stolen about $70 billion, not million dollars, but $70 billion. Perhaps it's only $30 billion, but there are figures of $70 billion that the families have stolen from the Egyptian people. As Mubarak, the servant of the people, certainly has maintained a military dictatorship under the auspices of the American government. The American government has been providing the money that Mubarak has used certainly to support his military, if his police, and to oppress any opposition. We maintain dictators all throughout the Islamic world. This is what the average American doesn't know, but he doesn't care about. The average American doesn't understand that men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Why does America have military bases in 720 nations throughout the world? Why does America have troops stationed in 130 nations throughout the world? Why? Because we have an empire, ladies and gentlemen. We have an empire. And certainly those places we don't have our troops and our military bases, why we bribe the people and we pay them to maintain their control over the people. And this is true certainly in all of these Muslim countries, certainly in Egypt. We've been keeping the dictator in power. I suspect we were doing that in Tunisia. I have no question at all that we kept Saddam Hussein in power. I have no question at all, and you can read my writings on this on our website, that Zbigniew Brzezinski was instrumental in toppling the Shah of Iran and bringing the Ayatollahs to power. And back in 1979, it didn't make any sense. Why would we topple the Shah? He was a benevolent dictator. Oh, he was a little bit ruthless, but after all, he was our ally. He was a good guy. He was anti-communist. Why would we topple the Shah of Iran and then bring someone who was anti-American to power? It didn't make any sense back in 1979. Today, it's very obvious. We were creating the best enemy money could buy. What most Americans don't understand is that we have actually been financing, of course, the opposition to Mubarak and his articles on the... You can go to the London Telegraph and simply... Google right now is taking down the important articles, but so they, I would go to the London Telegraph and go to your search engine and type in Obama administration funding opposition to Mubarak, something like that. And there's articles there, and if you can't pull them down, you certainly want to hear my interview with Barry Shamish a couple of days ago, and we actually have the interview with him. I think it was the one we did actually last night, and he'll give you the references on what I'm talking about. Not only that, of course, but what nobody wants to talk about here in the United States, totally blocked off in the American media, is a man named Lord James, a member of the House of Lords, and certainly on the 3rd or 4th of November, I think it was the 4th of November of last year, got up in the House of Lords, the British Parliament, and talked about how he had been funding billions of pounds, those were his words, billions of pounds of the terrorists in Ireland, but in North Africa, and he couldn't talk about what he was doing in North Africa because it was sensitive, it was an ongoing process. This is November. And now, certainly just a few weeks later, we begin to see the tumult in Tunisia. Tunisia's falling. Why did it fall? Why, the Bank of London, through Lord James, was funneling money out of this effort to overthrow the Tunisian government. Remember, the Tunisian military could have intervened and stopped this. The Egyptian military could have intervened and stopped this. They did not. Why didn't they? I believe they were paid off. I believe they were very well paid, probably both by the Bank of England and by people here in the United States who are creating the best enemy money could buy. We're trying to get back to David Rubin. Hopefully we'll be able to get him back on the line. But if not, why, you're certainly welcome to give us a call, because I have nothing prepared. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment, until we're able to get David back on the line. But those of you who listen to our programs regularly will recall that a few months ago, Lindsay Williams was our guest. And Lindsay Williams had basically said that he had been told by Mr. X, who was actually Ken Fromm, the president of ARCO when he retired, and he had been told in October, about middle of October, that there was going to be a major conflict in the Middle East in 4 to 6 months, was the exact words that were used. There's going to be a major conflict. Well, it was 3 months later when Hillary gave a speech in Dubai and told the leaders of the Muslim world, you either liberalize or the whole thing's going to fall apart. And within a week, the riots had started in Tunisia, all carefully planned and timed. This did not happen by accident. So basically, we are suddenly having the problem getting through to our caller, and it's unfortunately we're going to have to do open lines for the rest of the hour. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and that's the number we want to get him on. And so we'll ask if hold just a moment here. So basically, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'd love to get your thoughts on this. But Lindsay had told us there was going to be this major conflict. He also told us that in 4 to 6 months, and this was from the middle of October of last year, that the price of oil would be going up. Well, of course, right now the price of oil seems to have dropped a little bit this last few days, but I suspect that something big is going to happen. I will tell you what we've heard, and that is that the America is sending certain squads of Marines over to Egypt to protect American interests there. And, of course, this is the first step towards American involvement over there. Our warships are moving over adjacent to Egypt. But it is my belief that the American foreign policy is intent upon bringing the radical Islamic movement to power. Why? Because, of course, if you read the book, The Devil's Game, it was written some years ago, it talks about how MI6 was funding the Muslim Brotherhood. MI6 was funding the Muslim Brotherhood. And basically, then CIA took over funding it. Now, the theme of this book, which is really a very, very good book, we do offer it, is that we'd created a Frankenstein that had turned against us. I do not believe that is true. I think we created a Frankenstein that is doing exactly what Frankenstein was supposed to do. But the book, The Devil's Game, is very, very important. We had the books previously. We don't carry them today. But there was a book called Dollars for Terror. It came out in 1999, written by a Swiss journalist whose closest friend was killed by the radical Islamists there in North Africa. I think it was in Algeria. And so he spent a number of years researching the background of this radical Islamic movement in North Africa. He came to the conclusion it was all financed by the Central Intelligence Agency. The book, Dollars for Terror, written in 1999. There was a book called Unholy Wars, written by a man named James Cooley, I believe it was. And this was also published in 1999. The author was actually employed by the Christian Science Monitor. He was a foreign correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, and basically he just said this whole thing is financed by the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, we're talking about two years before the 9/11 attack. It was very interesting that everything was done. The people who had the book Dollars for Terror, it was published in Switzerland and then republished here in the United States. The fellow was doing everything he could to keep from getting the book published, distributed. He was only offering a 20% markup on it. And, of course, you can't afford to buy a book, pay for the transportation, pay the answering service when there's no profit in circulating the book. So there was an organized effort to prevent that information from getting out. Well, we're not going to be able to get David Rubin back again, so give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I believe there's a timetable. I believe that timetable is being followed. I don't have access to the timetable. All I have, of course, is the writings of the Luciferians, the New Agers, the occultists, and, of course, a recent article by Barbara Marks Hubbard, one of the leaders of this whole movement. She actually was the vice presidential candidate, or ran for the Democratic nomination for the vice presidency in the 1984 against... and she lost, forgotten who the vice presidential candidate was for the Democratic Party in 1984, Geraldine Ferraro, I think it was. But Barbara Marks Hubbard has been a consultant for our military, for the Special Forces. She is certainly one of the most powerful and influential women in the world. And she wrote an editorial recently, an article. You can get it off the internet, or you can't, we'll send you a copy. Which she talks about at this time in history, we're moving towards cataclysmic changes. The world is going to change. And I believe she certainly knows exactly what's going to happen because she channels from a demonic spirit. You can look at things that are going on from a political point of view, from a cultural point of view, from an ideological point of view, but you can't understand what's going on unless you understand the spiritual forces working behind the scenes. That's why certainly Lynn Marzulli's book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, is so important. Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. That's why my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is so important. That's why my talk on the forbidden secret in the syllabus is so important, my talk on the dark secret. Now, the dark secret is only available in CD. It's not available yet on DVD. The forbidden secret is available on DVD, but you need to get both of them, the DVD of the forbidden secret and the syllabus. the CD of the Dark Secret and the Syllabus. To understand the true nature of the spiritual forces that are at work in the world today. Because we are moving towards the climax, I believe, of modern history. What is going to happen? Well, we're just going to have to wait and see. Our job is to reach as many people as we can, and hopefully to draw them to the Lord. And if there was a great spiritual revival in America, why, I think we could put off the prophesied a program that is outlined in the scriptures for 20 years, 50 years, 100 years. But certainly if we do nothing, why, of course, I believe this is going to play out in a terrible and frightening manner. Because one of the most significant things about what's going on over there is Pakistan. Pakistan is building nuclear weapons. We've been giving money to Pakistan, and oh, shucks, we just found out that Pakistan has been using the money, the billions of dollars we've given them, to build more nuclear weapons. Why should we be surprised about that? When, of course, it was the American State Department and the FBI that in collusion that transferred or allowed the transfer of the plans for to build a nuclear weapon and the wherewithal and technology to transfer it to a third world nation named Pakistan, to a third world great scientist named Mr. Dr. Khan. That's the Sybil Edmonds story. If you haven't read it, you need to get it. It's on our January 2008 newsletter. Pull it down and read it through. This story is known throughout the world, totally suppressed here in America. So that's why it's so very important in a similar manner that they totally suppressed the information when Lord James got up there in the House of Lords on November 4th and talked about how he had funneled billions of pounds to the terrorists in North Africa and said, I can't talk about it openly. It's still a security issue. I can talk about the billions of pounds I've funneled to the Irish Republican terrorists, but not to the terrorists in North Africa. Billions of pounds. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an expensive thing to buy off an army in Tunisia. It's an expensive thing to buy off an army in Egypt, and who knows what other armies we bought off in the Muslim world as we push this into this radical form of Islam. But now Pakistan has and still building nuclear weapons, and everything suggests to me, and I hope and pray that I'm wrong, and I hope you'll pray that I'm wrong too, because I would take no pleasure if I'm right. But I fear that the radical Islamists are going to take control of those nuclear weapons. They're going to use them, and they'll probably use them against India. They'll probably use them against against Israel. And, of course, there will be terrible retaliation on our part. Ladies and gentlemen, why does Pakistan need all those nuclear weapons? And they have very powerful missiles, intermediate-range missiles, probably built with Chinese technology, or maybe we get the technology to build the nuclear weapons. I don't. Pardon me, the nuclear-tip missiles. According to Avi Lipkin, why the Saudis have 100 to 150 nuclear-tip missiles in Saudi Arabia, and he's talked about this in the past, and I don't necessarily question Avi. He has sources of information not available. We'll be having him on our evening program, I believe, a week from tomorrow night. You'll want to keep listening. We're going to try to keep you on the cutting edge of what's going on. We are living in the most dangerous time of your life, ladies and gentlemen. While we focus on the Super Bowl, while we focus on Lindsay Lohan, while we focus on Tiger Woods and his tragic stepping down from being the finest golfer in the world. He hasn't won anything in this year at all. Basically, we're focusing on the wrong issues. Remember what this Edward Bernays wrote in his book, Propaganda. We are governed, our minds are molded, our taste form or ideas suggested largely by men we have never heard of. The very real threat that faces America today and the spiritual forces behind that threat in the Near East and the Middle East are not being discussed. Well, our number is, if you want to give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But you need to help us to get the information out. Remember, these programs are archived at RadioLiberty.com. Get them, copy them, circulate them. Help us to let people know this is all planned and financed largely with your tax money. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got our final 3 minutes of the program, and unfortunately, we lost.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Quite frankly, we could certainly use your help. We're getting a little bit behind. Certainly, our shortwave signals are not getting through. As a result, we've lost a lot of support from our shortwave listeners, so we have to rely upon those of you who are hearing us on radio until we can get back. Hopefully, of course, when we get on daylight saving time, we'll be on a frequency that is heard much better during the summer months, and we very seriously consider dropping shortwave. We don't want to because we have an awful lot of shortwave listeners, and they just don't have the money or the wherewithal for getting the computers. Or, of course, if you have not got consider getting a satellite. If you get the satellite, well, of course, you can listen to our programs 9 hours a day. They're inexpensive, less than I can't give the price here, but they're not that expensive, and not only that, they will give you television channels, a lot of Christian television channels, and the news channels you're not going to get elsewhere. You can listen to Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera, the radical Islamic television station in English, largely funded, I'm sure, by the intelligence agencies, because they're funding this whole radical Islamic movement. And Al Jazeera is one of the major forces consolidating the people to overthrow their governments, and it's funded by originally by MI6. Its headquarters were originally in London, England. Why would the headquarters of Al Jazeera, the radical Islamic television network, be in London, England? Because it was funded by MI6. When you understand that, everything begins to make sense. Nothing as it appears to be. Reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. We do hope that shows you want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We hope you want to get my talk on the Forbidden Secret and the Syllabus. We hope you want to get the DVDs. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version of that, because it goes into the background of how the many people in the music industry made a deal, made an intentional, knowing pact with the devil, and then, of course, many of them died. How many of the people that you know in the music industry, world famous, died at a very young age under tragic circumstances? They sold their souls for rock and roll. You'll certainly want to get the 3-part DVD series, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginnings, which takes you into the secret societies that exist. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are secret societies. We have a 4-tape set on Skull and Bones. We have a book called America's Secret Establishment. We actually have the membership list of Skull and Bones. We have another book called Secrets of the Tomb. You need to get this information. And you need to understand that both George Herbert Walker Bush and George W. Bush were members of the secret satanic organization. If you doubt it's satanic, why, read this in the book we have, Secrets of the Tomb. They'll tell you about all the swastikas they have there. They have Geronimo's skull. But, of course, what they're not going to tell you is the ceremony that they have of indoctrination, Skull and Bones, is when people kneel before a replica of Lucifer. And you can actually see that in living color at William H. Kennedy's website. Somebody snuck in, risked their life, and got pictures, videotapes of the world's leaders bowing before a replica of Satan. If you want to see what happens at the the Bohemian Grove and the feigned human sacrifice before the Great Owl, why, that's Alex Jones' DVD on the Bohemian Grove. But we have the secret writings of the Bohemian Grove on one page in the front open of their book. They talk about, we revere the owl. What does that mean? The owl's a simple Moloch of Lucifer. Understand what's really going on. And number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are at war today.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so very much for joining us, caring about your world. Wanting to say, what are you thinking? What are you doing? And how dare you? Seriously, more and more people are saying, how dare you? Well, we welcome you to the Power Hour today. 3 hours every day, we try to look at what is really an issue, have a little fun periodically, and help some people out. And I want to thank all of you last week who were very kind to assist one of our listeners who had her house burned down. She had lost her husband, first of all, had her house burned down, and what a tragic situation. And she has, unfortunately, had to go through a lot of things that most of us never want to ever think about having to experience. And thank you for helping her out. And we did post in the email blast the address if you would like to help her out. That's what we do at the Power Hour. In the first hour, we're going to be talking about the news that they seem to lose. Looks like the Middle East is ginning up. There's some problems in the Middle East that are not being addressed. It looks as though everything sort of is at a standstill at Tahrir Square, but I think it is worse than that. And I think the undercurrent of what is happening is what we're going to be looking at. Also, today, it's going to be a really good time for us to take a look at